What up, though? What's happening? What's popping? It's your boy T-Lip bringing you another episode of the Speak On It podcast, man. This is episode 47, man. We getting close to that 50 ball. We getting close to that episode 50, man. We grinding over here on the daily, you feel what I'm saying? But, shit, I hope y'all enjoying y'all day, man. Hope y'all enjoy y'all day. You feel what I'm saying? Hydrate yourselves, man. Drink some water. Weather changing. So, man, take care of yourself with them vitamins, fruit, veggies, and water, man. Make sure y'all consuming those things. You feel what I'm saying? We'll be slinging sea moss again in 2024. Keep an eye on for it. Keep an eye out for it. But with all that being said, man, let's jump right into these the NBA yesterday. Now, first let's talk about the play-in tournament. Obviously, the play-in tournament is set. The eight teams are set. The tournament starts December 4th and 5th. And the matchups right now in the West is the first round will be the Lakers. The Lakers are the one seed. The Kings are the two seed. The Pelicans are the three seed. And the Suns are the four seed. And the Lakers and the Suns play each other in L.A. for the first game. And then the Kings and the Pelicans play each other in Sacramento for the first game. So that's the West bracket right there. And then we go over to the East bracket. The Milwaukee Bucks were the number one seed. The Indiana Pacers was the number two seed. The Boston Celtics was the number three seed. And the New York Knicks is the number four seed. So tipping off on the fourth, I think the fourth. The Bucks will play the Knicks in Milwaukee. And Boston has to travel to Indiana and play them for the first game away. So, yeah, and then after the first round, they go to Vegas. So there's two games in Vegas. It would be the semifinals in Vegas, and then it would be the championship in Vegas. So we'll see how that turned out, man. Obviously, the whole play-in tournament, and it's been played on Tuesdays and Fridays. If y'all haven't noticed, when the courts are different and the jerseys are different, that's the play-in tournament. That's the game of a play-in tournament. And obviously, we see the seeding was based on wins and losses and points, point margins. So it's just a little twist up that they added to the game. I kind of want to see how this is going to turn out. Who's going to win it, you know? Like, are these guys going to, you know, really play to win this tournament? I think they will, because it's basketball at the end of the day, and I don't think they want to lose. But I think having something to play for might, you know, have them play a little harder. You feel me? This is like a 4-day, I'll probably say a 4 or 5 day schedule. So you got from it starts on the 4th and it ends on the 9th. And I think the next NBA game is on the 12th. So it's like a nice little week of in season tournament basketball, and then the best back to the regular season permits. But I'm excited to see how that turns out, man. I'm excited to see how it turns out. If I had to pick somebody that would win right now, the in-season tournament right now, if I had to pick a team that I feel like are going to win, I would have to say I feel the three-seeded Boston Celtics are going to win. I feel like Porzingis is out. I'm not sure if Porzingis is going to be back around that time, but Boston is just playing together. They have two closers on their team in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They have depth. They have Jrue Holiday. They have Derek White. They have Al Horford. They have Hauser. That's a pretty good player off the bench. They have Pritchard. I think Pritchard was always a decent player. He's kind of small, but he's a guy that can shoot the ball, and he plays decent basketball. You know, he's not a starter, or he's not a game changer, but he's a solid player off the bench, and they're finally playing him again this year. So then they have their backup center. But they're literally like nine players deep, And they're playing really well right now. They are, let me see what seeding they are. They are 14-4. They are the number one seed in the East. And as they should be. We know the Celtics as they should be. So I'm going to pick the Celtics to win the first play-in tournament. I just feel like they got some young guys, hungry guys, that's going to be able to, if they have to play 48 minutes, they'll play all 48 minutes to win those play-in tournaments and still be good for the next night. That's what youth does, you know. Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're both young, and they're the head honchos on their team. So being led by them will put them in great position. So I'm excited to see what this in-season tournament actually looks like and see the tempo of how the game's being played, the seriousness. I want to see how it looks, man. It's not so bad so far. I'm going to say that. It's not so bad so far. I mean, it's regular games on Tuesdays and Fridays, but it just adds a little bit more, you know, incentive to them winning those games. And that's cool. It ain't like teams not getting blew out them days, but just a different incentive to the NBA. I'm not mad at it. All right, moving on from that, let's talk about some games that happened last night, man. First game I want to talk about is the Kings and the Warriors. This is becoming like a rivalry. I would say that. Like, if y'all haven't been paying attention to these Kings and Warriors matchups for the last couple years, they've been kind of going at it. If you watch this game, the first half, I'm sure you walked away from the first half like, ain't no way the Warriors gonna lose this game. I think I went to sleep mid third quarter, and they were still up by a lot of points. The Warriors scored 72 points in the first half. 72. And the Kings scored 55 points. And the Kings were at home. So they was getting beat at home. The whole first half, they was getting beat. Then they kind of went on a run in the second half. End up having the third quarter come out. The Kings scored 40 points. But they also gave up 32 points. So what, they was up by 17. So now they go into the fourth quarter down by 9. You feel me? The Kings went into the fourth quarter down by 9. And then they just got busy. The fourth quarter, they was able to score 29 points and only give up 19 points. So the first half, they gave up 72 points. The second half, they only gave up 51 points. That's great basketball right there. And you don't really even, you know, think of Sacramento as a defensive team. You think of them more of like a, you know, offensive team, a running gun team, a fast-paced team, a team that can create shots for their teammates. They kind of remind you a little bit of, not much this team, but the Suns teams of like when Mike D'Antonio was there, like kind of running gun, fast-paced team, always get out on the break. No matter if it's a made basket or a missed basket, they want to run. And don't let you settle your defense and you feel me, get the quickest bucket they can get. Mike Brown over there, he has them guys playing really well right now. I can't say that enough. That was a great sign for that team. He brought the energy, he brought the wisdom, he brought the knowledge. And you know, he's a championship coach. So he has that pedigree and he has that, you know, experience to coach these guys. And he's doing his thing, man. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a plus 9 for the field. You know, shot 45% from the field. This is what's up, man. He's leading his team, man. He's leading his team. He's playing really well. He's like I said, he's in attack mode most of the time. But the difference between this Kings team is other guys gained confidence last year. Even though they lost in the first round last year, barely lost to this same Warriors team, they gained confidence last year, and now they feel like they are one of the better teams in the West, and they are. You can't just walk into Sacramento and think you're going to win again, and you can't expect for them to come into your arena and you just think you're going to win, because they are a good home and road team. You got guys like Kevin Huerter knocking his three-point shot down. He had 21 points yesterday. He was 4-for-7 from the 3. 5 assists as well. And this is a shooter. Then you got Malik Monk coming off the bench. In 25 minutes, he had 21 points. I know the Lakers mad they let him go, but he had 21 points. And he had the last, he had the game winner, and he had the three-pointer to, what was it? Not to tie the game, but to go down one. It was 119 to 123. Steph Curry turned the ball over. They end up giving the ball to Malik Monk. He shoots a three, makes it 122 to 123. And then he has the game-winning shot, attack the basket, something like a floater, mid-range shot off the glass. He made the shot to win the game. He's been balling. And that's another expense to LeBron James and the Lakers, for real. I would really say LeBron James. Because before Malik Monk got to, nobody was signing Malik Monk. Nobody wanted Malik Monk before the Lakers took a chance on him. Before LeBron said, "Hey, I can make him, you know, I can turn him into something." When he left Charlotte, there was no team out there that was willing to give him a bag or willing to give him an opportunity or nothing like that. He signed to the Lakers on a minimum deal. And now he's making damn near 10 M's a year. And he's going to continue to make more money because he's found his role in the league. He's found his space. He always had talent. He always had this crazy athletic advantage over guys. He can shoot, but now he's putting it together often now. He's putting it together a lot. So shout out to Malik Monk. And it ain't just LeBron. It's him. Like, you got to do it yourself. What he's doing right now ain't got nothing to do with LeBron. He believed in himself. They showed belief in him. And now he's just being consistent. He's being a pro. And he's found his spot and his space in the league. So definitely kudos to him, man, because he's doing his thing. Then you guys, the bonus. You know, he had 9 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. And I'm sure he was a presence down there. Harrison Barnes, 12 points. T. Lyles, 11 points. So this Sacramento team is a good team, man. They're a good team. They end up winning by one, like I said, on the game-winning shot. And they're grooving right now. They are grooving right now. They are the – let me see where they sit at in the West. They sit at the 6th seed right now in the West at 10-6. And they like a game – what is it, like 2 games from being the 1 seed? And I'm hearing the Timberwolves just lost Anthony Edwards. I don't know how severe – his injury is, but losing Anthony Edwards, if you lose him for a week or two or three or a month, it ain't going to look good for the Timberwolves at all. So they're going to come down from that 1 seed, and teams are going to start jumping them. But we shall see, because we don't know the severity of his injuries. Young guys usually bounce back quicker than quick. Let's move over to the Warriors, man. Steph Curry had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He was the only plus as a starter. He was a +7. Every other starter was a minus. Wiggins had 29 points, 10 rebounds. Klay Thompson had 20 points, 9 rebounds. Like, I remember literally last week they were saying no other Warrior, Golden State Warrior, has scored over 20 points in a game besides Steph Curry. And this was like damn near for like 13, 14 games in a row. So now you got Wiggins scoring 29 points. I think this is just season high this year. Klay Thompson had 20 points. But if you've seen how the game closed, Steph Curry comes down with 7 seconds on the clock. He comes off of a screen, comes off another screen, and Klay Thompson is wide open on like the right wing, right with the three-point wing area. He was wide open right there, literally, because they was double-teaming him. They were double-teaming Steph, trying to, you know, either make him pass or make him shoot a bad shot. And he shot the shot from the logo and missed it, and Klay was sick. Obviously, there are speculations out there that Klay is angry about his contract, or he's angry about how he's playing. He's angry. He's just going through this phase where he's going through a tough stretch right now. He's going through a very, very tough stretch right now. This is like one of the first times where Klay had to be a true number two. Like, this is really one of the first times he had to be that true number two. Back when they won a championship in 2015, I wouldn't say he was a true number two, because they had so many veterans and so many guys on that team to where he didn't have to create his own shot. He didn't have to score a lot of points. You know, they had guys like Sean Livingston, Iguodala, Barbosa, David West, Andrew Bogut. They had a bunch of veteran guys, a bunch of guys that can come in, and you knew you was probably going to get 5 to 10 points from those guys as well, and they was going to play defense. So his room for error is less now. That's all I'm saying. But this Warriors team is shaky, man. Obviously, Draymond Green came back this game from his 5-game suspension. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. He played 33 minutes. Chris Paul only played 4 minutes. And Kuminga only played 9 minutes. They need to let Chris Paul go. They need to buy him out, and he need to go to another team. This is just not going to work. I never thought this was going to work. I never thought trading for Chris Paul was going to work at all for this team. They need to just let him go, buy him out, and let him go. And let him go and sign with whoever he want to sign with. I think he deserved that type of, respect. I'd be cool with seeing him run the Lakers bench. You know, come off, if you're going to come off the bench, you might as well come off the bench for the Lakers. That's how I see it. That's only how I see it. And then, of course, you're probably going to close some games and things like that. But I like him with the Lakers or the Sixers potentially. I can see him with either one of those teams off the bench. But, this Warriors team, man, they shaky, man. They are shaky. If y'all know, they are shaky. The Warriors are the 10th seed right now. They are 8-10. 8-10. They started off, the season 6-1. And then they lost like 6-7 games in a row. So this is a shaky team right now. They're still trying to figure out what type of team they are. They're trying to figure out who on the team can score consistently outside of Steph Curry. I don't think they have a guy on their team that can give you 17 points a night outside of Steph Curry. I don't think they have nobody on this team that can go and get their own bucket outside of Steph Curry. So Steph Curry literally have to play every night. He have to play hero ball every single night. He has to score 35, 40 points, 50 points damn near every night for them to even have a chance. He can have 50 points on one night and they still lose by 20 because they don't have a lot of bucket getters on this team. They don't have it. Kevin Durant ain't coming back. KD ain't coming back, man. He not. So they have a lot of situations. They have some things to figure out over there in Golden State. They have some things to figure it out. Because if they don't figure it out, they going to find themselves out of the playoffs. I said it before and I'm said it again. They better figure it out or they're going to find themselves out of the playoffs. All right, man, let's move on from that. Let's talk about let's talk about the Bucks right now. Bucks in the Heat. Bucks traveled to Miami, played the Heat. They ended up winning 131 to 124. The Bucks won. Jimmy Butler did not play. Definitely want to see Jimmy Butler play in this game. Like, you could have missed another game. I would want to see you play in this game, bro. Like, I understand you be hurting shit like that, but You be missing the game that you need to play. Like, nobody, motherfucker, when they put this game on the schedule, they expected Jimmy Butler to play in this game. They expected Giannis to play in this game. They expected Dane to play in this game. I'm sure who y'all got next. You could have set out against Indiana tomorrow because y'all play Indiana again on Saturday. You could have set out tomorrow. You could have set out today versus Indiana. So, no, I don't really want to hear that. Because they play Indiana today. Today is Wednesday. Then they don't play another game until Saturday. So, nah, bro. I don't want to hear that. Giannis. It's funny because Miami was down. I mean, Miami was up a lot this game. Miami was literally up a lot this game. But Giannis answered the bell. 33 points. 10 rebounds, 5 assists, one block, two steals. He was a plus 18 from the court. Look at Malik Beasley, 16 points, 4 for 8 from 3. Oh, now you can shoot. Oh, now you can shoot the ball. I love that for him, man, because he couldn't make a fucking jump shot at all. He couldn't even get on the court for the Lakers last year. So, you know, it's just a little pressure. Different pressure playing with LeBron James. I get it. Dame added in his 32 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 for 9 from the three-point line. Plus 13 on the field, one turnover. That's great basketball right there. That's what they need from him. Nine assists and one turnover, and added 32 points, shooting 50% from the field, 47% from the three-point line. Love it. Love it. That's what they brought him in for. That this game right here is exactly what they brought him in for, to be a closer, to open the gap of the spread. If they up by 5, he's a guy that can go out there and score 9 straight points and open that up to 14 points. You feel me? He's that type of guy. So they added a closer to their team, and I'm sure they're enjoying that right there for sure. So the Bucks are a good team right now. The Bucks are basically the 2 seed. They're figuring it out. Obviously, there's going to be some type of adjustment going on because, you know, Drew Holiday is gone now. Chris Middleton is trying to, you know, find his way back into the flow of this offense as well. So they're building right now. They also have a new head coach. So they're building right now. They're transitioning. They're finding their new identity. You know, every year is a new year. And just because you got the same players on your team, it don't mean it's going to be the same year, the same team. It ain't going to be none of that. They're figuring it out, and they're winning on top of that. So they're figuring it out and winning, which is good. Miami, Bam Adebayo played a good game right now. He had 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, and 2 blocks. But he was a minus 16 on the field. I don't know. I don't really know how all that should be going, but whatever. Yeah, they just didn't have enough tonight. They had guys in double digits, though. I mean, Richardson had 20 points. Lowry had 21. Robinson had 13. The rookie, Jaquez, had 14 points. And Caleb Martin had 14 points. So they had guys that was scoring. They had guys that were scoring for sure, but you always need your closer. You always need a guy that you can really put the ball in his hand and say, hey, go get it. It ain't about plays. In certain moments of the game, it's not about plays. It's about players. It's about players. And obviously, the best 2 players on the court was on the Milwaukee team because Jimmy Butler was out. So it's going to be easy for them to come back. But good game, though, right there. They was able to still fight. They was able to still be in this game and at a certain time be in control of this game. Moving on from that, man, the Knicks beat the Hornets. The Hornets lost the Melo Ball. We don't know the severity of the injury right now. We don't know how long it's going to take. They say he's going to miss some. He's out indefinitely, if I'm not mistaken, but we don't know. I guess he sprained his ankle or rolled his ankle. I don't know about LaMelo Ball, man. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Like, I think he has the talent, but he can't stay healthy. He's not helping his team win. They're not winning no games. They're not going to be better at all because of him at all. So what is the future for LaMelo Ball? I don't know. But good win for the Knicks. Obviously, that win helped them in towards the play-in tournament. So we shall see how that turns out. The Nets beat the Raptors 115-103. I think the Raptors are going to kind of blow this team up a little bit. I think Anunoby will be in a different jersey. I would like to see Anunoby in a Kings jersey or in a Philly jersey. I like Anunoby in either one of those jerseys. I like Pascal Siakam in a different jersey as well. They might blow it up. We shall see. But I don't think the Raptors are a competitive team this year like that. The Raptors are 8-10. They're the 11th seed. That's not that competitive. You can't win with that like that. The Nets, Mikal Bridges, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Dinwiddie, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Okay. You can win with that right there. You can win with that right there. They're just finding ways to win games. Obviously, Ben Simmons is out. Lonnie Walker coming off the bench doing his thing. He only has 7 points this game, but he has the most points off the bench this year, if I'm not mistaken. The most 20-point games off the bench this year. He's been doing his thing. Shout out to LeBron James again. So, good win for the Nets. Good win for the Nets. Moving on from that, let's briefly talk about the Hawks and the Cavaliers. The Cavs won 128-105. Donovan Mitchell, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, plus 29 from the field. He had 6 turnovers, but he got 3 steals as well on 1 block. Damn, Evan Mobley has 7 blocks? Ooh-wee, he had 17 points, 19 rebounds, and 7 blocks. That's a bag right there. Evan Mobley, keep doing that, for real. I think he's a rangy guy that can really play basketball and really find his way as well in Evan Mobley. So I like to see that from Evan Mobley. 19 rebounds, man, that's big time. That shows you was dedicated, you was focused tonight. Keep turning up. Great win for the Cavaliers, man. And this is Donovan Mitchell's second game back or third game back from his injury, and he dropped 40 points already. You know, he's the guy you want the ball in his hands. You want the ball in Donovan Mitchell's hands. Obviously, he's a guy that can go for 40 points any given night. Would love to see him in a Lakers jersey or a Knicks jersey. I would love to see him in one of those jerseys. He just brings that type of energy. He brings that type of energy. He has that type of scoring ability. I mean, he had 40 points on 25 shots, 9 for 9 from the free throw line. So 31 points was scored on shots. And I love that. Sometimes you see a guy with 40 points and he had, you know, 18 free throws made. So that was just like, okay, 22 points from the shots. That's cool, but I like to see, you know, I like to see shots made, not so many free throws. You know, Embiid be having 40 points and he had 21 made free throws. Like, damn. They were just blowing the whistle for you, huh? But that's a good win for the Cavaliers. Wasn't a really competitive game for the Hawks. Nobody scored over 20 points, but all their starters was in double digits, but nobody scored over 20 points. Trae Young, he had 13 points. That's not winning basketball. Moving on from that, let's go on to the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Obviously, this is a good game because these are two young teams that has two young superstars in Shea and Anthony Edwards. And they're winning. They're leading their teams to win. They are the number one and the number two seed. Let me see, make sure it's still that way. No, well, a couple games ago, they was 1-2. Milwaukee is still the number one seed, and the Thunder are the number five seed right now. And they're 11-6. And the Timberwolves are 13-4. But this is a good game, man. This is a good game. Shea had 32 points. He's a bucket. He does his thing out there. He gets points. He gets buckets. They got Jalen Williams back. He's pretty good, man. He's a guy. I like that. I like Jalen Williams for sure. I do. Anthony Edwards had 21 points. He got injured, though, in the game. I think he has, like, some type of hip injury. He got injured. He only played 28 minutes, didn't come back from after that injury. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. Cat had 13 points and 10 rebounds. I think they need more from Cat. Especially if Ant out, they're going to need more from Cat. Cat always talking about in the offseason, he's the most skilled and the best big man and the best shooting big man in the game. And all that is cool and all. I like how, you know, you got to give yourself some credit because ain't nobody always going to give you credit. But you got to play now. We got to see more than 13 points, my brother. If you're the best shooting big in the game, Gobert can't shoot more shots than you. Gobert shot 10 shots and you only shot 8. You have to shoot more if you're the best big man, shooting big man in the game. You have to score more points than 13 points, my brother. Period. Even dudes off the bench shot more shots than you. Nas Reed shot 9 shots and you only shot 8. He had more points than you and more threes than you. And a better percentage. So, but they end up winning, though, anyway, 106-103. That's a good win for them because the Young Thunder team is a pretty good team. They are pretty good. and they are an up-and-coming team in the West. So people got to keep their eyes out on them because they're going to upset somebody in the first round. They're going to be one of those teams that's battling in the second round, and we're going to see how that goes. But two young upcoming teams in the West that probably could, you know, do some damage for the next few years. It just depends on, you know, how everything turns out. But I like the future of those teams, though, for sure. Last but not least, man, I talk about the Rockets and the Mavericks. Battle of Houston. Luka and Dillon Brooks going at it, of course. Every time they see each other, they're going to be at it. Dillon Brooks be wanting to go at it with everybody. But, you know, that's just the competitive nature of the game. The Mavericks won 121-115, led by Luka. Luka had 41 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. He also had no turnovers. I love when I see that. You drop 41 points and you have 9 assists and you have no turnovers. That's very productive. He had a plus 12 too on the court. So that's winning basketball right there. That is winning basketball right there. Obviously, you know, the best handler of the ball, the best finisher around the rim of the ball, and Kyrie Irving added his 27 points, 5 assists. He did his thing. He had no turnovers as well. Two of the best bucket getters on your team right there. Two of the best bucket getters in the league, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. They on the same team, so it's going to be hard to stop them in the playoffs. It's going to be hard to stop them on any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because they got two guys that can literally score 50 and do it with no plays called, no pick and roll, whatever. They can score however they need to score. Mid-range, at the rim, 3 points, catch and shoot, close out, create, all of it. Man, they got everything in their bag. So that's what wins game. And they created a more decent team around them. They had 3 guys off the bench with double figures. Jones had 15 points, Hardaway had 11 points, and Exum had 12 points. So that's great for them. Grant Williams, he was 0-for-5 from the field, but he was also a plus 2, so I'm sure he was doing his thing on defense and, you know, just putting his team in the right position. He's more of that role. I'm not looking for Grant Williams to have, you know, 15 points tonight or anything like that. I think he's the guy that's the glue. You know, he's going to, you know, dive for loose ball. He's going to box out. He's going to play the game fundamentally the correct way. And that's what you need, especially on a team with Luke on there and Kyrie. You have to do all of that dirty work. You know, you got to rebound. You got to dive for loose balls. You have to make the extra push. You got to close out. You got to set the screens. You got to do all of those things to open up more court for those type of guys. Moving on to the Rockets. The Rockets, their center, Singham. I said in the preseason, bro, I think he's the next up-and-coming big center. He can pass. He's worked on his shot this offseason. He's savvy. His post moves is right on you. He's not wasting time. None of that. He had 31 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. He's actually shooting the 3 ball more. His defense is not going to be big or anything like that. He's not going to be known as a defensive guy, but he's going to have that consistent pressure he's going to put that consistent pressure on defenses because he's very versatile in how he scores and how he shoots the ball and, you know, his post game, his post moves, and he's going to make you guard him. I need more points from Jalen Green, bro. Jalen Green only had 12 points. If Jalen Green have 18 points, they win this game. If Jalen Green have 25 points, they win this game. He has to score. He has to score. That's his job for this team. That's what I wanted to see preseason. I was talking about it. I'm like, bro, Jalen Green has to be the scorer for this team. He has to shoot the ball. He shot the ball 14 times. He was 2-for-6 from the three-point line. 5 makes out of 14. He has to shoot the ball 20 times a night. And that's tough. That's tough to say, hey, bro, you every night you got to go out there and score 20 points. I mean, yeah, score 20 points and shoot 20 shots, 20 plus points. But you have to get those shots up every night because you're supposed to be this scorer. Like, that's what I look at Jalen Green as. Like, you have to fulfill that role of being a dominant scorer in today's NBA. Because if you don't, then why am I about to give you $300 million if you can't score points for me? It ain't your defense. It ain't your passing. It ain't your, your wisdom on the court is you being able to jump higher than everybody and being able to create your own shot and be that weapon, that offensive weapon. If you can't do that, then I'm not giving you $300 million. But of course, in today's NBA, they're going to give them $300 million anyway because that's just what the fuck they do. Everybody get $300 million. There's literally going to be two guys on every team that makes $300 million a piece. Shit is wild, but that's just today's NBA. That's today's market, whatever it is. I don't get it. I don't think a lot of these guys, you know, are $300 million players, but whatever. It don't matter what I think. I ain't no GM. But, yeah, man, he has to be a guy that can give you 22 to 23 points a game. 12 points not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. Yeah, man, obviously the NBA season has started off pretty good this year. It's competitive. In-season tournament is competitive. Obviously, we're going to see how that works out, how it looks in Vegas, how serious the game is in Vegas. You know, the in-season championship, how serious that's going to be. We're just going to see it. You know, it's the first one this year, so obviously this is just a survey. We're all just surveying and looking and seeing how it's turning out. So far, it's pretty good. We're going to see how it ends. But that's all I got for y'all today, man, on the Speak On It podcast. It was a nice little quick episode. Well, it wasn't that quick. It was like 35, 36 minutes. But, yeah, man, that's what I got for the basketball game yesterday, man. Obviously, we got games tonight. Tune into the games tonight. And let's see how it go, man. Speak On It podcast. Lip out.